And please turn your Bibles to Revelation 16:10. And I'm going to do just a little bit of background because it's been, you know, last week was Resurrection Sunday 2021. And it's been 5 weeks since we've been in Revelation. And we lost 2 weeks to doing virtual topicals because we were slammed with COVID here. We lost a lot of staff and everything, had to do virtual for a couple weeks. And then we did a topical on Passover, with Jewish Passover. It was our Palm Sunday. And then we did Resurrection Sunday last week. And so I thought it would be good to do just a little bit of a review. When we first started the book of Revelation, I challenged everybody, just think about what you know now. Read through Revelation. And then just think about how much you know or don't know, you know, how much it doesn't make sense. And then I said, and then we're going to challenge each other when we get to the end, you know, read it again and you'll rejoice over what the Lord has placed in your heart over something that's so important. And so we're getting to the end. In fact, our study today is actually where we're at the end of chapter 16 and 17, 18 is all right when Jesus comes back. It's all right at the time that Jesus returns to earth. And we're going to be going over this timeline that, again, you know, they're out, hard copies are here in the church too. But I wanted to preamble it with, for those that are just new and haven't been around, maybe never read Revelation, there was the Exodus. We had the Passover here a couple weeks ago. And imagine if Moses would have come with the book of Revelation for them. You know, what if he would have come with hey, I'm coming here, I'm going to be delivering you from slavery, and there's going to be 10 plagues. And then on the 10th plague, God is going to deliver you from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's going to let you go. And then you're going to be going right to the Red Sea. Pharaoh's going to think that you're trapped. And he's going to send his army, and God's just going to part the Red Sea, and you're going to go across, and Pharaoh's army is going to get killed, and then you're going to go to Mount Sinai, and then a bunch of you are going to flake out, and you're not going to go into the Promised Land and have to die for 40 years in the wilderness. I mean, can you imagine that if they would have had that, and see what God has done is given us that for what happens through history to the last days. And so when we see the things that are going around in the world today, we're talking out there in the foyer with people, because now, something we've been mentioning for months and months and months, COVID is not about COVID. The response to COVID is not about the health of the population. The response of COVID is to get everybody vaccinated, and in getting vaccinated to get database so that you won't be able to do anything without some kind of a vaccination passport. Months and months ago. Now, it's not because, you know, Fauci invited me to one of his meetings, or Bill Gates. It was because we're living in the days of the end. And what is the end? The databasing of everybody in the world. A global police state that's going to allow an antichrist to rule over the entire world. And so when you see that, hey, this isn't about health. This is about control. This is about completely changing the world, collapsing the economy. It's going to give birth to a global economy and global power and global police state and absolutely controlling everybody. So what is all that, you know, for us? Go back to the Israel getting in the Exodus. What would that have done to you reading this? Oh, I don't want to be one of those that flake out. I don't want to be telling Moses, you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. We want to go back to Egypt. You know, it would have been like, no, that doesn't end well for them. I want to be the one that stays faithful till the end. I want to be a Joshua and a Caleb. I want to just be like them. And so everything about what we've been teaching is trying to encourage all of you. We're living in the last days. The power of the Antichrist, the kingdom is coming. Satan is on a full court press. He wants to deceive you away from the things of walking with Jesus in holiness. He wants to get you off in everything else in the world, to think like the world. And I want you to say no. No to Satan, yes to God, and stay faithful and true to him until he comes. So, Revelation, just 30,000 foot, you know, view. Chapters 1 through 3. John sees a vision in heaven, and then he's being told how there's messages from Jesus himself to the seven churches of Asia, which represents the churches throughout church history. He commends churches for things that they're doing to be a witness for him, And he rebukes them for the things that are doing, that they're doing, that are destroying their witness of Jesus to the world that they're living in. And some of them he only commends, and he says, and for the last church he commends, the Philadelphia church, because you have not denied my name and you have kept my word, I'm going to keep you from the time to test the entire world. I want to be like that. I want to be not denying his name, trusting in his name, Jesus is my Savior, not denying his name, not denying his word, keeping his word, and then I want Jesus to take us home, because the next chapter 4 is John is all of a sudden, he's taken up into heaven. Symbolic of the rapture of the church. You never hear church anymore in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation then shifts to 144,000 Jews. It shifts to 2 witnesses in Jerusalem and the building of a temple. It's Jews, mixed with the book of Daniel and Jesus at the Mount, at the Olivet Discourse. It shifts to Jews because the church is gone. We're not the witness anymore. God is using the Jews to be the witness in the world. That's chapter 4. And then you have chapter 5. And then John goes, the people in heaven are, who's worthy to open the scroll title deed to earth, and it's sealed with 7 seals. And who's worthy? And John starts crying because, like, nobody's worthy. And then an angel comes next to him and says, well, actually, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, talking about Jesus, has prevailed to open the scroll. And what's that scene telling us? As I was praying, there's no other way but Jesus. Made it perfectly clear to John. All of heaven is sitting there. There's nobody worthy except Jesus. He's the only way to be saved. He's the only way to go to heaven. The biblical Jesus, by the way, not the Mormon Jesus, not the Jehovah Witness Jesus, none of the other Jesus. It has to be the biblical Jesus. God in flesh who came here. Chapter 6, Jesus is worthy, and he starts opening up the seals of the scroll. And the first 4, first one is debatable. I'm not going to review that. Second, third, and fourth, peace being taken from the world. War and death by famine. War, famine, death. 1/4 of the world's population dies. Now here's how this applies to my thinking in this day. How close is the world to... Has the world been talking about nuclear war like never before? Not never since the Cold War, the deep Cold War? Now, not much in our media, but Ukraine president declared war on Russia, saying he told his troops to prepare and make a plan to take Crimea and the breakaway states of the eastern Ukraine back for Ukraine. And Russia says, oh, really? And they just have been, in the last couple, 3 weeks, they've been just throwing out troops and tanks and everything. And the talk is nuclear war. Ukraine, you attack us, then we're going to do this. If you then also have those NATO troops there and they send a missile at us, then we're going to nuke you. And they have moved their nukes out, their mobile nuke intercontinental ballistic missiles with MIRVed warheads, meaning multiple independent reentry vehicles. They can take, one missile, take out 10 cities. They moved them all out and they're moving them around the country so that nobody can first strike, take them out. That's what was happening until there was, supposedly, the Ukrainians went to a meeting in France and said, okay, maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe we shouldn't try and get something back that there will be nobody to take it back by when this war is over. So cooler heads prevail. But what I'm thinking is the kind of wars being discussed today, Israel and Iran, China taking over Taiwan, and they have tons of troops ready to take Taiwan because they just can't stand that island being free. And you got Ukraine and all this stuff and NATO and everything. That is the kind of war that would lead to 1/4 of the world's population dying, because that one would light off, that one would light off, that one would light off. And so if we're close, if people are saber-rattling to this level, look up. Because if we're understanding that chapter 4, the church being taken up to heaven, is before chapter 6, where God, Jesus' wrath, is pulling the seals of the scroll, and they're creating a judgment upon earth, a peace being taken from the earth, then we're not here for that. We're going to be spared from that, is what Jesus said to the Philadelphia church. This seal is believers in heaven who have been killed for their faith, saying, God, how long are you going to put up with these people on earth? that are killing your people? And God answers that question with the sixth seal. Sixth seal, which looks to what we're going to cover today at the end. I think it's chronologically out of order, the sixth seal. He's saying, oh, here's your answer. See, the very end. The very end when the wrath of God and there's a global earthquake and people are hiding themselves in the cave. That's when I'm coming back, is when there is a global cataclysmic earthquake. Chapter 7 is a parenthetical about the 144,000 Jewish witnesses and the number of people that are going to come out of the Great Tribulation right after that, I think because of their witnesses, what's implied. And so it's 144,000 Jews. It's not, well, why? Why does God send them, you know, have them come? And I think he's beaming them down. We covered that earlier in chapter 7 from the early church. Because if you take what we know from about them in chapter 7 and chapter 14, they're all men, they're virgins, everybody in heaven is going to be a virgin with a new body. You're all going to be virgins when you die, go to heaven, get your new body. And they've been with Jesus from the beginning, they're the first fruits. There's no guile in them all, no sin in them at all. There's nobody on earth. There's no Jews like that today. There's not going to be Jews after the rapture that's that way. So there has to be something different about these people. So they come down, they're witnesses, because the church is gone. We're not witnessing, so God puts other witnesses down. And chapter 10 through 14 are parentheticals also, or actually chapter 8 and 9, the seven seals are open, so now you can see this in your timeline. So then the seventh seal, when you open the seventh seal, then God unleashes seven trumpet judgments. So an angel blows a trumpet, something bad happens on earth. First one is the vegetation is affected. The sea is affected. The waters, the fresh waters are affected. The heavens are affected. Demon locusts are let loose to torment people on the earth. They're going to sting them, but they're not. They're going to feel like they're going to wish they were dead, but they can't be dead. And demonic hordes of horses released in the Euphrates, and another one-third of the population dies. The world is down to a half of the population. And that's at the end of the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. And there's 3.5 years left. Now you might think, demonic hordes and horses, some kind of horses and riders that cause a third of the world's population, Kevin, really this Bible is kind of crazy. How can you say that? Okay, so now you're in Egypt and Moses has handed you the account of what's going to happen. And the death of the firstborn and the parting of the Red Sea and all this other stuff would have sounded absurd, wouldn't it? Except it happened. And the fire, the Mount Sinai and the fire and the finger of God coming down and writing the Ten Commandments twice because the first set got broken. I mean, all these things that the Bible said that actually came true. Unless you don't believe it's true. How can you not believe it's true when the Bible told us what it's going to be like in the last days and look around? See, prophecy proves the authorship of the Bible is God. So I literally believe these things are going to happen. And then chapter 10 through 14, 10, Jesus says, no more delay. Because now it's at the mid-tribulation, 3.5 years left. The world is slaughtering the people that are refusing to go along with the global religion of the Antichrist. And at 3.5 years, he goes, okay, this is it. No more delay. And the last 3.5 years are part of his no more delay. And then there's the parenthetical of chapter 11 about rebuilding the temple and the two witnesses that are in Jerusalem and the Antichrist killing them. Chapter 12 is the history of Satan coming against Jews and God's plan of salvation through a Messiah, Jesus, how he was trying to take out Jesus when he was born and his plan to mess with the Jews in the last days and his failure to do so. Chapter 13 is about the Antichrist and his ability to control the whole world, along with his right-hand man, the false prophet of the Antichrist. And for the first time in history, we're talking out there, only now can they do a global vaccination passport. Only now. Which is what the Antichrist would need to be globally able to control your buying and selling. 20 years ago, if they were trying to do this, what would have happened? I'd have gone to a good counterfeiter and said, give me a good counterfeit vaccine passport. You can't do it now. They don't have to worry about counterfeiters. Because it's all going to be tied to you, your phone, your digital ID, your mark, your everything else. And you're not going to get away with it. And, you know, I know people that are traveling now so they, you know, with planes, so they can. And I'm literally thinking, okay, because I'm not going to take it. And again, if you feel like a piece about taking it or have to take it, then whatever, because again, we're all going to die. This body's going to die one way or another. We're going to go be with Jesus. Everything's going to be wiped away. It's not like taking a vaccine is the mark of the beast and you're going to damn your soul. It's not going to happen. But if you want to, you know, to me, you want to stay healthy and do it God's way, natural, then that's the way I want to do it. And especially since and here's the other crazy thing. If I got COVID, I don't need a COVID shot. Right? I mean, in all of history, in all of medical history, they'd say, oh, you got chicken pox, you don't need to get the vaccine because you got the real thing. And now it's, oh, no. You got to have it because we got other plans for you. It's not about health. It's about control. And so, okay, I'm not going to be able to travel. Might not be able to even drive my car out of state. They could have a border checkpoint that checks you out and all this other stuff. Mentally, I'm prepared for, you know, this to me is just running with the foot soldiers, and the cavalry's coming, as it says in Jeremiah. And so I'm just prepared. I'm just prepared for what's coming, biblically. I just know what's coming because the Bible says what's coming. Didn't say vaccine passports, but it says control, you know, and the control is coming. The Antichrist is coming. Chapter 13. Chapter 14, 144,000 are taken off of the world. And now they're up in heaven. It doesn't say that they died or anything else. It's just all of a sudden they're up in heaven. And now God uses three angels to go around the world preaching the gospel to the people on earth, saying, better not, you better worship the God who created the heavens and the earth. Don't be worshiping the Antichrist. Don't be taking the mark of his, you know, mark of his name in your hand and bowing and worshiping his image. Otherwise, you are damned forever in hell. And so the angels are doing that, giving all the survivors of the planet one more witness. Everybody gets it because these angels are speaking in the different languages of the people so that everybody understands if they take it, they're damned forever. And people will do it because they want to be able to go to the grocery store. They want to go to Disneyland. You know, whatever the people think are so important today. And then 15 and 16, the seventh trumpet blows, which lights off the seven bowls of wrath judgment. You know, this is the last 3.5 years, which becomes the great tribulation when God says, I'm done, no more waiting. And then he unleashes the bowls of wrath. The first one is loathsome sores. Second one, which we've covered, everybody that took the mark of the beast breaks out in loathsome sores. Seas turn to blood, waters turn to blood, sun scorching people in darkness. And that's our lead into chapter 16, verse 10. So, long lead in. But I hope that reviews. And for those of you that are here, you should have been able to, I'm refreshed in my memory about this. And again, this isn't just, I don't get up here to share this with you so that you can, okay, I can take a test and 2-5 survive. This is the truth. This is God giving us the unveiling of Jesus, how he is going to pull the sheet off of his masterpiece, which is God's salvation plan to save people on earth. And we need to be thinking about these things in light of nothing is going to get me to not worship Jesus as my Savior. Nothing. And I'm going to follow him, want to strive to live a holy life, and strive to be a witness to the people that out here are so clueless about what's about to happen that they don't know, so that we can witness to them. Revelation 16:10, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl. This is review from 5 weeks ago. Bowl on the throne of the beast, the capital of the beast system of the Antichrist, and his kingdom, global kingdom of, you know, the Antichrist kingdom is going to be the whole world, became full of darkness. And they nod their tongues because of the pain. They blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. No surprise they don't repent, because who are the people that are on earth at the time? You know, as you're going through the last 3.5 years and we're getting to the very end, Whose people? Everybody that sold their soul to the devil, took the mark of the beast and worshiped his image so that they wouldn't have their digital access to the digital economy canceled so that they couldn't buy and sell so they could still go to QFC and suck down a burger, whatever else. And so because of their desire to live a temporary life, and as soon as they took that mark, said, I don't care about what those angels are telling me. I don't care about what my Christian friends told me before I got here. I don't care about what that Bible says that I heard about before they destroyed them all. I am going to save my skin for a short period of time. And so they are then given over. They're done. And they're not going to repent because God has removed all, he's removed all conscience from them. Because they, you know, as the angel said, if you take that mark, you're damned forever. There's no repentance for it. They're going to curse God. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, who is Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, the Antichrist's right-hand man. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty, the Battle of Armageddon. So now this sixth bowl is like God is going to allow the demon spirits of Satan and his troopers come out of the world leaders to say, we got to have one more shindig war. We've got to go to the Middle East and we got to put an end to anything that, you know, the Antichrist is forbidden by God to go get this small group of Jews that listened to Jesus. And when they saw the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, they fled to the wilderness and realized, okay, that Antichrist that was just went into the temple and defiled it, he's not our Messiah. And Jesus, who is our true Messiah, has told us the truth 2,000 years ago, and we're going to flee to the wilderness and God protects them. But the Antichrist is going to gather everybody that's still alive, however many that is, again, half the world's population. Bill Gates will be so happy if he's still alive that we're down to 4 billion people instead of 8, or, you know, much less than that, probably. And we're going to bring all the people to the Battle of Armageddon, and it's going to be demons that are going to be causing these leaders to do that. Who do you think, you know, we were talking during announcement time, who do you think is behind, really behind, Ukraine declaring war on Russia, and Russia doing its thing, all willing to start pushing buttons to lead millions of people into being vaporized? Demons. The prince and the power of the air. The whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. And people go, well, we need Crimea back. Boom. Oh, okay, well, there's nobody to take Crimea back because you're all going to be dead. And it just, they don't think of that. And it's just power and control. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked. And they see his shame and they gather. And they gathered these demons and the people they're in control of, gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. And I emphasized 5 weeks ago the importance of watching. And who is he talking to? He's talking to us. He can't be talking to people in the tribulation. They know what's going to go on. I mean, all the information's there. The angels are telling them. They know exactly what's going on. He's warning us, really? Really? For the church, I'm coming. Not the church knows I'm coming, and they're waiting for him. You are going to think that when he comes to take the church, I came as a thief in the night. You didn't know because you weren't watching. See, if we're watching, we can know the signs of the times. Jesus rebuked his generation for being able to look at the clouds and say, oh, it's going to be sunny or rainy or whatever. You know, they could do the weather report for the day. He goes, you can do the weather, but you can't look at the scriptures and see that the Messiah is coming to die on the cross. Rome, you know, Psalm, his hands and his feet are going to be pierced. They should have realized, he's going to be going to the cross. And Jesus told him, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners and go. And, you know, and then these scribes and Pharisees said, no, these verses in Isaiah 53, you know, why are you here? What authority do you have? They weren't watching. Are you watching? We should be watching. We should be ready. Jesus, and Jesus says, when you see these things begin to take place, what does he say? Look up, because your redemption is drawing nigh. And I'm telling you, these things are beginning to take place. We don't know the exact day or the hour, but I'm watching and I want to be ready for Jesus when he comes to take me home. And they gathered to the place called Armageddon, which is, you know, we know it's the valley of Megiddo. There's a city called Megiddo, the Tel Megiddo in Israel, the Jezreel Valley. In fact, if you go on a tour, you go there and you come and it's just kind of, it's flat. It's the farmland of Israel in that area. And it's flat except for this mound. And you go and then you get taught that the mound that you're standing on is, I think it's the 27th or something city that's been there, because the first one said, hey, this is a strategic place. So let's build a town here. It's fertile farmland and everything. And so then they get destroyed. So they destroy it. And they build another town on top of it, another town on top of it. 27, if I'm right. Can't remember. Tour guide would say, I told you 25, and you say 26. Somewhere around there. So it's a strategic place. It's been where wars have been fought over and over and over again for that piece of real estate. And God is going to come and fight over that place, because the Antichrist is going to come and gather the troops to wipe out the remaining Jews, as we're going to see. And God puts an end to it. And here's another thing, huh? You know, oh, there's going to be war in the Middle East. It's going to be Armageddon. Now, I hope everybody here reading, you know, listening to this study, no, it's not. Armageddon is at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. It can't happen today. We don't have an Antichrist. We don't have all the nations of the world gathering there with a massive army. We don't have angels flying around. So, no, nothing here is Armageddon. The world has never seen Armageddon. It can't see Armageddon until the very, very end of the tribulation period. And then, Revelation 16, 17. So actually, we're picking up right now where we left off 5 weeks ago. 16, 17. Then the seventh completeness angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it's done. Jesus said 3.5 years earlier, no more delay. Bam, bam, bam. Bowls of wrath judgment. And now when you get to the seventh, it's done. And I have in there Matthew, I have in your notes Matthew 24:13. This helps you understand what Jesus said in what's called the Olivet Discourse. Matthew 24 is called the Olivet Discourse. Jesus taught on the Mount of Olives his disciples when they asked him, tell me more about the future. And Jesus was telling about the future. And he said, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all nations. The angels, he's saying, because then Revelation 14 says, yes, the gospel is going to be preached to all nations with the angels, and then the end will come. So the angels are done. The angels are keep on doing this until everybody's decided to either get their head chopped off because they refuse to take the mark of the beast, or they've taken the mark of the beast, it's done, and now God just says, boom, we're going to end this. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Such a mighty and great earthquake as has not occurred since men were on the earth. Now that's a huge earthquake. Turn to Isaiah chapter 24, verse 19. Now, and I do think that this seventh bowl of wrath and the earthquake, associated earthquake, is the same as the sixth seal of Revelation chapter 6, because they're synonymous. We're talking about this massive global earthquake. And again, I gave you the reason for that earlier in this discussion. So you can go to our October 25th and November 1st studies where I covered that when we were doing the sixth seal. And I also have in your notes in there to also see details of Dr. Walt Brown's theory of the flood of Noah, because seismologists who are based in the millions and millions and millions of years of plate tectonics and seafloor spreading and subduction will tell you, as they told me when I asked him, one of the seismologists in the University of Washington, and I said, is it possible for there to be a global earthquake? And he says, no, there's not. It's not possible. That's because the continents didn't get to where they are by seafloor spreading and plate tectonics and subduction. That's not how the Earth and its sedimentary layers and its mountain ranges and its trenches and its submarine canyons and volcanoes, that's not how it happened. It happened with the flood of Noah. And there's one theory of how the flood of Noah occurred that is perfectly consistent with every verse in the Bible about the flood of Noah, which isn't just Genesis, and is perfectly consistent with science. And it's perfectly consistent with all the evidence that we see in the world. And it's Dr. Walt Brown, and his ninth edition is just about to come out of his book. But the easiest way for you to go is to go to Brian Nichols' YouTube channel. And there's 13 videos, and it turns Walt Brown's book, which is complicated, into something that's still complicated, but animated in a way it's easier to understand. In 2012, I did an earthquake talk down in California, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. It was Creation Science Investigation Seminar, where Walt Brown was there and other creation speakers were there. And based on the hydroplate theory, did a discussion on how do earthquakes actually happen and why there will be a global earthquake. And I don't have time to get into it, but go to that. The link's in the notes. The links will be on the notes of our website. So when you go to calvarypo.org and you click on this study at the website, then there'll be notes attached to that page, and you'll be able to go on the active links and see those things if you're interested in doing it. It's not just Revelation. It's like lots of verses in the Bible that talk about this breakup in the last days. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 8 through 22. Isaiah 24, 17 through 23. Joel 2, 30 through 32. Luke 21, verse 25. And Isaiah 24, 19 is very, very descriptive. It says, the earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy on it, and it will fall and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of exalted ones. Who's that? Who is the exalted, punish on high the host of exalted ones? Satan. When does God deal with Satan? When he returns. What's happening when he returns, according to Revelation? A massive earthquake. And the earth, he's going to punish on high the host of exalted ones, and on the earth, the kings of the earth, putting to an end the Antichrist and his 10-nation world empire. They will be gathered together as prisoners or gathered in the pit and will be shut up in the prison. We're going to see that in Revelation 19. Jesus comes and locks Satan up in the pit. After many days, they will be punished. The kings of the earth have to wait until judgment day to be punished. Then the moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed. Other verses talk about what's going to happen to the moon and the sun besides the earthquake. For the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion. Jesus is going to come back and he's going to reign there in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously. Turn to Haggai chapter 2 verse 6. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Last three books of the Old Testament. Haggai 2:6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. And they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Parallel passage. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. And by the way, how much is this going to shake? Well, this is an earthquake bigger than anything the world has ever seen. Well, Darwin, when he was on his ship, he pulled into Chile, and they had just had an earthquake. And the mayor was explaining how he was riding his horse. And he got knocked off the horse. The horse got knocked off his legs, and they're both rolling around on the ground. Another description was that people that were, they had to hold on to something to keep from falling down. And the ones that had fallen down, they had to spread out their arms to keep from being bounced around. And they're trying to just maintain the same position. And that's nothing compared to what's going to come. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, when Jesus spoke, when God spoke on earth at Mount Sinai and the Jews didn't really listen to him, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Who speaks from heaven? God. His word. Speaking from heaven through the book of Revelation. Speaking from, you know, Jesus came from heaven to earth and came to tell us these things. How much more if we don't listen to what Jesus said, we're in a heap of trouble. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably and reverently and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Yeah. You want to be a real estate investor in this time of life? I think we're so close. It's like, okay, I'd like to sell this property. Man, this is great. I mean, I'll keep this in my family for generations. You better think about that. Everything's going to be shaken. Our world is being, look at how it's been shaken in the last year. Things that we used to think we were secure in, investments, properties, ability to travel, freedoms, everything else, shaken to the core. All that stuff's going away. But you know what? Have you been shaken in the inner man, the inner woman? Are you shaken about your relationship with God? Shaken about what the future is? That we're going to go to heaven? We're going to get a new body? We're going to be ushered in and rejoicing with the angels forever and ever? That part can't shake. It is real. It's because Jesus saved us. It's because he came and he died on the cross and he rose again to give us life. Can't shake that. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying for 2,000 years ago, everybody should think that. The world shakes all the time. But our foundation in Jesus, the rock of our salvation, never shakes. Revelation 16, 18. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now, the great city, Jerusalem, was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God and gave her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now, I have in your notes Zechariah 14:1. We're going to skip over that, and we'll cover it when we do the actual second coming of Jesus. But it talks about how in this earthquake, there's going to be a massive earthquake that splits Jerusalem right in half. And the Jews that the Antichrist and his armies are after, the Jews are told by God in the scriptures, okay, flee Jerusalem in this valley that I've created, as God then destroys the Antichrist armies by vaporizing them while they stand on their feet. The great Babylon was remembered, chapter 16, verse 19 again. The great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And now keep this in mind when Babylon was a city. It's in Iraq. It was in Iraq. But we have to go back without going there. You know, read Genesis 10:11 if you're unfamiliar with it. But after the flood of Noah, you would think people after the flood of Noah being told by Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives, and Noah and his wife, you'd think those people would have said, you know, we don't want to rebel against God. Because, you know, what they did before the flood is they rebelled against God to the point where the thought and intent of their hearts was evil continuously, and there was just murderous rape and pillage and mayhem. And God says, I gotta put an end to this. And a lot of that was demonically inspired by Satan cohabitating with women and creating a demonic hybrid that was here on earth. And so you would think that for generations they'd be saying, no, we can't rebel. No, right away this guy Nimrod, leads the world. Hey, let's make a name for ourselves. Let's build a great city and a tower into heaven and make a name for ourselves and forget God. And so they were doing it. People right away, let's do that. Let's follow Nimrod, the great hunter. Let's follow some, the Antichrist. Make a name for ourselves. Get rid of Jesus. Get rid of any discussion about God. Isn't that what the world is doing today? So Babylon really means there's a Babylonian system that's been around since the Tower of Babel, where the claim is, let's make a name for ourselves as humans. Let's make a name. We build a tower higher. This is what Josephus said the motivation was. We're going to make a tower higher than God can judge. He wants to do a flood again. He's not going to get us all. So it's in your face to God. And just, we want to rule ourselves. We don't want his laws. We don't want them spoken. We don't want to hear them. We don't want to obey them. And that's the Babylon system that's been forever. And God's going to put an end to that system. It's going to be gone. And in the last days, it's going to be ruled by the Antichrist and the 10 leaders of the world. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. My son and his family are in Hawaii right now. They're not planning on buying real estate. If they were, I'd warn them. Think of the topography of the earth changing to where every island is moving. Mountain ranges are dropping thousands of feet. We know there's going to be those kind of topographical changes because the Dead Sea now, which is about 1,000 feet below sea level, is going to be high enough that it's going to become a freshwater lake and a place for fishing after the tribulation when Jesus sets up his kingdom on earth. So when God says this place is going to be shaken, it is going to be beyond our comprehension. And again, the earthquake DVD, based on the hydroplate theory, explains why that will happen. The earth is being set up for it. And, one key, just to kind of tantalize you to spend the hour and a half to watch the video, is you can go to the earthquake map site of the USGS, and you can scour the database. Show me every earthquake that's below 220 miles down from the top of the surface of the earth. Because every earthquake greater than 220 miles is causing frictional heat that melts the rock. And when the rock melts, at the pressure that's that deep, the rock, instead of getting bigger because it got hotter, getting more volume, which is what normally happens. Something gets hotter, it takes up more volume, it's lighter, and it wants to go up. Below 220 miles, it wants to shrink. Well, when it wants to shrink, something has to try and fill that place. So it actually creates a vacuum in that area, and so now it wants to create more stress in that area. So there's going to be a time where all these deep earthquakes, which are mostly centered down in Fiji and New Zealand area, if you can look at the map, show me every earthquake that's greater than 220 miles and it's in the Ring of Fire predominantly. And so someday there's going to be an earthquake that's just going to cause a vacuum to cause more movement, which is going to cause another earthquake, which is going to cause another earthquake, which is going to cause another earthquake. And it's just like if I walk in front of that speaker with this microphone, it's going to, the microphone's going to pick up some noise, send it to the thing. It's going to go to the speaker. The speaker's going to put it into my microphone. And all of a sudden, just a runaway do loop. And that's what's going to happen someday. And this place, then the liquid outer core and the mantle is just going to be changing and morphing, and everything is going to go into a rapid new state of equilibrium, which is going to be a massive, massive earthquake. So every island fled away. Mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, the heaven up in space, but could just be coming down through the air upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent, 75 pounds. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. Now, I think what will probably be happening, it doesn't mention the volcanoes that are going to occur, but with all that change in the crust, there's going to be pyroclastic explosions coming from the trapped water that they know is trapped. There's brackish aqueous solution below every mountain range, which means salt water, which is explained by the hydroplate theory, which is under pressure. And so when some of these volcanoes that go off where there's that trapped subterranean water, and then they just totally pulverize, explode, that's pyroclastic flow because of the supercritical water that's coming out. And it's going to blow rocks up into space all over the earth. And then they're going to come raining down. And people are going to have to hide themselves because there will be no place safe enough to get a 75-pound rock falling on your head. And so they'll be looking for the caves. They'll be looking for some place to get away. Not that it really matters, because they've taken the mark of the beast, and they're going to, and Jesus is just right then coming, putting an end and sending everybody that took the mark of the beast into a lake of fire forever. Let's turn to Revelation 6:15. And we're not going to get 17 today. So for those of you wondering, okay, you know, so we'll do 17 and get into 18 next week. It's better that way from actually the timing it's going to take. And this is why I think this is the same as the sixth seal, because, you know, and I want to emphasize again, the first four result in a fourth of the world's population dying because peace is taken from the world, famine, death. Fifth one is people in heaven saying, Lord, how long are you going to wait to put an end to this, and all the killing of our people and everything else that love you? And then the answer is the sixth seal, which is what we're reading now, which is the end. It's right when Jesus is coming back. Revelation 6:15, it says, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders and the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of Jesus, God's wrath, started when he popped the first seal of the scroll. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Well, the only people able to stand is who? People with faith in Jesus. How many of those are there when this is happening? Almost nobody. Because during the tribulation period, if they confessed faith in Jesus Christ, refused to take the mark of the beast, you know, which in my mind, I'm just kind of playing with the idea. How long can I refuse to take a vaccine certificate and still live? I mean, I think a year from now, let's try and remember, a year from now, let's ask myself the question again. Oh, really? You know, what'd you do? Dumpster dive outside of QFC? And that's because we know from the scripture they've got to have a plan in place for the Antichrist to do what it says he can do. It's not going to be like rapture today, Antichrist and global kingdom tomorrow. He's got to have the tools to be able to do this stuff, and we're seeing the tools developed. So who's going to be able to stand? Well, actually, the people that stood up go, no, I know who you are, Antichrist. I know you're possessed by Satan, and you can threaten me all you want. You can take away my digital coins, and you can keep me from going shopping, but you can't take my soul, which is bought by Jesus on the cross, that it's washed in the shed blood of Jesus, and I'm going to worship him because he promises me everlasting life. And then you get your head chopped off, because that's what it says in chapter 14. Is that you then, oh, okay, well, not only are we going to cancel your digital culture, but you're a worthless eater. You're breathing carbon. We need to keep you from living, and they're going to get rid of you. Or you can avoid that. I mean, and see, the thing is that'd be a cool way to go, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd be cool to be faithful to Jesus. But today, God's given us a way. He's told the church, the last days church, you don't deny my name and you keep my word, I'm going to keep you from that. I kind of want to do that. I don't want to hope to go through global warfare that wipes out a fourth of the world's population. Wouldn't that be fun to live during those days? And then to have all this other demonic stuff going around, and just trying to, you know, sit in some cave and hide with my AR and some food and stuff. I want to go right now and be with Jesus. And I think it's coming soon. And now I'm going to say, and I was going to fit into this study, but I'll say it now because I want to confess. It's off topic, but we'll get back on there as we close in prayer. It's off topic because it had to do with last week. Last week was Resurrection Sunday. I want to confess a failure on my part because I usually do it every single year. I warn everybody before Resurrection Sunday. Don't do Easter eggs and Easter bunnies. Just don't do it. Because it has nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus. And because it puts a bad message out. And see, the thing is we don't, and people don't understand, and this is not a condemnation thing. And this is something like, if you've done it, my encouragement is, really think about what you're doing. Because something happened on Monday. On Monday, you know, I'm getting ready to wash my truck. Some kids in the neighborhood that I've, you know, tried to witness to before, they came by. Because one of them wanted to sell pictures. He's taking a photography class. And at first I was going to blow him away and, you know, no, I don't want to do it. Oh, no, wait, you know, the Lord was, no, witness to him. And so I wanted to buy a picture. And then, when they came up, I said, hey, you don't have to keep your mask on for me. So two of them pulled them off. One kept it on. And so I asked that one, I said, so are you afraid of me? And he says, no. And I said, okay. Then, you know, why are you wearing it? And he said, actually, I said, are you afraid of me? No. And I go, because you can't get COVID from me. I've already had it. And he, you know, he just goes back. you know, I've already had it and gotten better. And he says, well, I just want to be nice. And I said, oh, so I'm not nice and they're not nice. And so they took it off. And so I use that as a lead into, you know, guys, someday you're going to die. Just like what we had in our resurrection service last week. Someday you're going to die. And what's going to happen when you die? And you know, they had no clue. And then one of them said, heaven. And I said, okay, how do you get to heaven? You just got to be a really good person. And then I said, actually, you know, the correct answer has to do with yesterday. And they're going, yesterday. And then I go, let me give you a clue. It has nothing to do with the Easter Bunny. Still nothing. Let me give you another clue. It has nothing to do with Easter eggs. Still nothing. And then one of them goes, getting together with the family? And then, you know, I told him about Jesus. I said, you've heard it. Let me get to the answer. It's Jesus. Do you know about him? They didn't even know. They didn't even understand the crucifixion and resurrection. So, you know, and here's the thing. Look at where we're at in society. And, you know, they're probably 10 years old, 12 years old, the older guy. And then I blame partially the church. Because we have churches that do, you know, they advertise the Easter egg hunt to bring people in. They have helicopter Easter bunny drops, Easter bunny drops to witness and stuff. That's what brings them in for the gospel. But here's what we're doing is, see, those kids, if they had a true Christian kid in this school, so what did you get for Easter? Nothing. Except everlasting life, 2,000 years ago, first Easter, Resurrection Sunday. What do you mean by that? Well, because we don't do Easter eggs. That's Babylon system. That's Babylon. That's the whore Babylon religious system that has corrupted the people in the world from ever knowing anything about Jesus, because Jesus is not brought up. They learn about Santa Claus, find out he was a fake lie that their parents gave them when they were kids, and now the parents want to tell them about Jesus. Oh, Dad, you fooled me once, and so not going to fool me twice. A completely demonic deception of Satan. And the same thing with Resurrection Sunday. What did the New Testament apostles do? Everything was, the reason we can talk and prove to you that there is everlasting life through Jesus Christ is because of the empty tomb and the resurrection. And that is gone from our society. And we are responsible for it. Every time our kids can't explain why they don't do Easter eggs and Easter bunnies to a dying world. Now, so, hope I'm preaching to the choir. And if I'm not, because there's people go, man, we do it. And I, you know, I have relatives that do it. What I'm telling you is the truth, isn't it? You know, what I just told you is the truth. You can do with the truth what you want. But for me, I want to be out of the Babylonian system. I want to leave no room for the devil to deceive my own children or other people's children to never even hear about Jesus or to know about the resurrection, what they can do to have everlasting life. And the whole time I'm talking about Jesus, that one guy, he's just like, you could tell the demons were just going, get out of here. Don't let him get to you. And you know, I actually asked him, what did you get out of what I said? Because I could tell there was a spiritual battle for his life. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is the way, the truth, and the life. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that God, you have given us this word so we can know and discern the days that we're living in. And Lord, it appears that truly these 1900 year ago prophecies are about to be able to be literally fulfilled for the first time in history. Meaning that we're close. And God, I pray that we wouldn't just be close in our brain's understanding of your scripture or our attempt to understand your scripture, but that it'd be so close that we are like John at the end of Revelation, where he just says, Lord, come quickly. Paul at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. Because our heart yearns, Lord, for you to take us home, whether by death or by rapture, that you take us home, and when you do, that we'd be found walking with you in truth and in honesty and not turning to the right or to the left in the tantalizations of this world and the lies that are there in it. And God, help us by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship Jesus in this closing song.
Welcome home. cleanse, relieve, because I promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come, because I promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
And I invite anybody that truly is here today and been touched by the Holy Spirit of God, that you've never come to Jesus, you've never made yourself right with God. You are in the system, the world system, and not in God's protective care. Then if your heart was even just singing to God that, I'm coming to you just as I am, I want to come, that you would come truly up here and we'll pray with you. You know, don't go. If God's telling you in your heart, you don't want to put off the days of evil that we're in. You want to get right with God without any delay. And so, please come. We'd love to pray with you after the service here. So, God bless you. Keep you in His care until we can fellowship again. We'll see you next week, as the Lord wills.